All right, it is Tuesday morning, time to talk money matters with our certified financial planner, Michelle Gravel. Michelle, good morning.
Good morning, Paul. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. Also from the Gravel's office, Jim Burden. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
Well, we've been talking over the last few weeks about all the ins and outs of planning for retirement, how to save, how to allocate those funds, and when in your retirement years. And if you've done everything right, you will have more than enough money for retirement, and it will outlast you. But then what? What happens to all that money? We're going to talk about that this morning, right?
Right, Paul. As we talked about a couple of shows ago, we have some clients that, several actually, that we've talked to over the years that have had accounts that they had put away for retirement in 401ks or IRAs. The one example of a client who had $2,500 from early teaching job had sort of lost track of it, and we found it and had grown to $90,000. So that was very important. But as you mentioned, what do you do with that money? And naming beneficiaries has become so important over the years. And so we thought we'd want to talk about that today, not only how to name beneficiaries, but what is entailed.
Right.
Well, you know, Paul, over the next 30 or 40 years, there's going to be $30 trillion in assets that are going to be passed from the baby boomers to their heirs. The baby boomers, they might not think of themselves this way, but they're the wealthiest generation, you know, in history.
Mm-hmm.
And our experience is that, you know, beneficiaries aren't always taken as serious as they should be. You know, things change. People get married. They get divorced. They have children. You want to make sure that you frequently update and review the beneficiaries. And that's part of the coaching that we provide, is to remind people that they need to keep on top of that. And people commonly do that for their IRAs and 401ks and retirement plans, but you need to do it in other areas as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so important. And, you know, it makes sense that this baby boom generation is, you know, the largest generation that we've seen in a long time. And so, yeah, they're going to have a lot of money to pass on to Generation X and beyond.
Sure.
Right. And that's true that there are so many people in the baby boom generation, and there have been a lot of people who have been married and remarried, whether through divorce or loss of spouse, so many different things and different children and grandchildren and things to consider. And what people, I think, don't realize is that when you name a beneficiary on an account, whether it be an IRA or various different types of an account, it avoids probate. And by avoiding probate, two things happen. Number one is it's not a matter of public record. So if I name Doug as my beneficiary, and Noel or my trust or whoever it is, however you want to set it up, because that's a whole other show that we're going to talk mm-hmm. about, trusts, his wills, et cetera, another time. But if I name Doug as my beneficiary, it is not a matter of public record. No one can come and ask about the account. Noel can't ask about the account. If Doug is the beneficiary, it's not a matter of public record. It completely avoids probate, which means it's also non-contestable. If you just have things in a will, it is a matter of public record, and it can be contested. But by naming beneficiaries, it avoids probate altogether, which avoids cost, public record, and contestability. And there are many different ways to do that. It used to be that you couldn't put a beneficiary on a brokerage account or a CD. Now they have what's called a TOD. It's a transfer on death form that you fill out, and you can designate a beneficiary on just about any account there is right now. And what that does is not only avoids probate, but it avoids putting people on your checking and savings and CDs, your liquid money right now. Because what if you have your son on something and your son goes through a divorce and that type of thing? Those become attachable assets, which again could be a whole another show. But I know Jim has been adding things too, that is what we do as a coach, is sit down and look through what are the various options for you, because it can get very befuddled. Naming beneficiaries,
right,
or trust, et cetera.
Well, you can have several beneficiaries too. Actually, you can have as many beneficiaries that you want. You have primaries, you have contingent beneficiaries. So you can be very specific about who you want to get this money and what amount you want to make sure they get. And you can change those beneficiaries at any time. That's why updating mm-hmm. them is important, because you can change them, you know, frequently.
Right. Yeah, you can. That's a very good point. You can change beneficiaries at any time. Kim and Mary at our office don't like us to say that too often. You can, but you can change them every day. Just kidding, Kim and Mary. But no, you can change them as many times as you want with not having to notify anybody but whoever you're working with, like us as your financial planners, and we help you notify each company or whatever investments you're working with. And for if any reason you decide to change, you can, unless there's some sort of regulation, whether it be a restricted account for a child that has some special needs or something like that, or if there was a divorce and there's a quadro order, there are other things that we can help you sort through with that as well. Beneficiaries can be as easy as you want, but they can be as complicated as they can be if you don't have someone to help you or you don't know all the rules yourself.
That's right, and you've got to do it, and you've got to make sure that it's in writing and done the right way. Just that conversation at Christmas dinner saying, hey, I want you to, you know, have this or handle that, that's not good enough. It's got to be done the right way, right?
Sure.
Right, right. And what it comes down to is wills are typically used for tangible things like jewelry, pictures, antiques, things like that. And anything that is a monetary type thing, a stock, a CD, an IRA, holding mutual funds or whatever, those are things that should have beneficiaries or some sort of structure to how you want that money to pass.
Yeah, really important.
I think everybody understands that, but they don't understand that it's not just, yeah, that's a good idea. Right. It's a little more involved than that.
Sure. Paul, I'd like to point out something that comes up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The beneficiaries are pretty obvious on the retirement accounts, but people may have accounts that are not retirement accounts. And I get this a lot, as I mentioned. They say, well, I'll make it a joint account. I'll put my son on there or my daughter on there, and then, you know, they'll get it when I'm, you know, deceased. That's not the same thing as a beneficiary. You know, a joint account, you are actually giving ownership. They have ownership rights to that account immediately because it is jointly held. And that could be a problem if someone, you know, gets sued or something. Mm-hmm. It actually is joint property. Both people own it. And it is public record. A beneficiary is more private, and it only goes into effect, and there's only ownership rights, you know, upon the passing of the account owner. So you have to be careful about putting, you know, your children or other people on as a joint account, because that's immediate ownership. That's different than a beneficiary.
Yeah, good point. Really important stuff to make sure that you are aware of. And again, the Gravel's office is your team to help you with that. Michelle, do you have a money-saving tip before we wrap up?
Well, you know, I think I'm going to save that one for next week because I just want to put one more point on this, which is sort of a tip in itself, is that when you do name a beneficiary, again, no one can call and talk about that. If someone passes away, let's say something happens to me, then Doug, he knows he's the beneficiary. He can call and talk about it. But during my lifetime, he could not call and talk about it. So let's say you name your son as the beneficiary because your daughter is having some issues or what have you. Your daughter and your son both are not allowed to call while you are still alive. If something happens to you, then your son can call because he is the beneficiary to discuss the account, but the daughter cannot. Or whatever it is, if it's a charity you name, et cetera, no one can call or discuss it at all during your lifetime. So it is a good amount of privacy there that is important to consider also.
Yeah. Yeah, very important indeed. Hey, if somebody wants to get a hold of the folks at the Gravel's office, how do they go about doing that?
Well, you can contact us at the 800 number. It's 800-668-7135. Talk to anyone at the Tri-County Bank or visit the WPHM website or contact the radio station directly.
Indeed, it all works. Guys, have a great week. Thanks so much. We'll talk again next Tuesday.
Thank you, Paul.
Okay,
all right.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. 1380 WPHM securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. The opinions voiced in this material are for general information only, not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing.